This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin, and want to thank Sunshine Schwani for the wonderful weather forecast, because anytime we can talk about...
Don't mention it, Rick.
Yeah. What was that about, a flash flood warning?
We have a flash flood watch.
Watch, okay.
In effect until tomorrow. Seriously, though, there is a flash flood warning, in some of the areas around Will County, also LaSalle County, that will continue into Tuesday in places. So with this continuing rain that we have, this, you know, certainly is not surprising to see.
No, and as you said earlier, too, if you're on the roads, it is a bit slick out there, so please use some extra caution this morning.
Absolutely. We had a serious accident on the tri-state, blocking three left lanes earlier this morning. That's now been cleared. Also an accident on the Bishop Ford that has been cleared, but, you know, more than likely, you know, due to the slick pavement and people perhaps going too fast.
Right, right, right. So, yeah, please just take it easy out there and take it for what it is. It's going to be raining all day long. Thanks, Dave.
You're quite welcome. I will bring a ray of sunshine in here soon.
You are always a ray of sunshine. I always say that to you.
Thank you.
Don't I?
And thanks to, yes, you do. And thank you. Thanks to your friend. I hope he's still your friend after you were saying thanks for bringing this weather in. I hope he's still your friend.
Jeff knows me very well.
Yes. All right.
Well, joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase studio is State Representative Anna Moeller. She's a Democrat from Elgin. She's been in the legislature since March of 2014, and she is the chairperson on the House Committee on Aging. Representative, thank you so much for making the trek this morning in the weather.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
I wanted to have you on because last week, you know, and we talk about how Springfield can't function a lot on this show, but last week... you were successful in gaining House passage of a bill, the Equal Pay Act, as it's known, aimed at helping close the gender wage gap in this state. Mm-hmm. And what that did, basically you were able to attract bipartisan support mm-hmm. for this bill, something we don't see much of these days.
That's right, Rick. It was a good day last Wednesday. We were able to, as you mentioned, with overwhelming bipartisan support, actually surprising the number of Republicans that came on board, and I'm very grateful to them, to pass a bill that will address the pervasive wage gap that we see here in Illinois. It's been 50 years since it's been illegal to pay women less for equal work, but yet we still see a gap for white women. It's 80 cents to the dollar. For African-American women, it's 64 cents to the dollar, and for Hispanic women, 54 cents to the dollar in earnings, which over a woman's lifetime can total, you know, over $400,000, depending on how long she works. And so in trying to close that gap, we introduced a bill that would, one, strengthen the existing act that we have in place, strengthen the requirement for employers to defend when they are paying their male employees more than women, that they're doing it for legitimate business reasons, either merit, education, experience, et cetera. We also added a provision that would prohibit employers from prohibiting their employees from sharing their wage information. Oftentimes, women will find out that they're being paid less from their male counterparts, and some employers have prohibited employees from sharing that information. It makes it much harder to find out if there are violations occurring if employees can't share their wage information. And then the novel piece that we included in this bill is the prohibition on employers from requiring job applicants from disclosing prior salary information. And this is being done in a few other places around the country. Should this bill pass, Illinois would be the third state to pass a bill to prohibit employers from doing this. And it's aimed at the historic and pervasive inequity that follows a woman throughout her career. So typically women tend to make 6.6% less than men in their first job coming out of high school, coming out of college. And if you're basing future pay on prior pay, that inequity follows a woman over her lifetime. And so this bill would prohibit employers from using that prior wage history to determine future wage offers.
If it's against the law, though, I mean, why does it still happen?
Right. And that's a huge question. And I think it's part of it is the systemic nature of wage inequity. It's women tend not to negotiate for themselves when they first start out in their careers. And when they do, they ask for less. And this is based on studies that have been done. AAUW did a study in 2013 to try to get at that. You know, why are women still making less, even though it's been illegal for 50 years to pay women less? And that's what they're finding. Women don't negotiate for themselves. When they do, they ask for less. Women often leave the workplace to take care of children or elderly parents. And when they re-enter the workforce, if we're basing future pay on what they had made, you know, 10, 15 years prior, their future pay is going to be less. And so if we just take that out of the equation, you know, salary should be based on the worth in the organization, the worth in the marketplace. It's not relevant. You know, the prior pay is not relevant to what future pay should be. And in some ways, this is a very timely issue that we are addressing here in Illinois. There was a ruling in California, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, that came out just this week that held that it's legal for an employer to base a woman's salary based on her prior salary. There was a woman in California. She had worked for a county, found out she was making less than her male counterparts in the same job, filed a suit alleging pay discrimination. And the original court found in her favor. The circuit court, the Court of Appeals, found that because her wage was based on
the previous
pay, that it was legal for the county to pay her less. And so should our bill pass here in Illinois, that would, well, one, the employers would not be able to access that information. And two, because of language that we've included in our bill, it would make it illegal for employers to do that.
And I was kind of curious, too, that this came out of the Ninth Circuit.
Yes.
Because this is the circuit that has been very active,
right.
Some would say liberally active,
right.
Involving the president's executive orders.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, and those arguments were made on the floor of the House during by some opponents of the bill about, you know, for issues like payments on commission jobs,
right.
Or things like that. But, I mean, how do you respond to that argument?
Well, our response is that it's perfectly legal, and it would be perfectly legal moving forward for a prospective employer to ask about job experience, sales experience, promotions, you know, awards or merits that they may have received at a previous job to get at
the overall experience
but the salary information itself would not be employers would not be able to ask about that. But there are a whole other range of questions that they can ask, and you know, it's finding comparable salaries in the marketplace are very easy now with the internet and a number of websites.
Well, and all various studies that
are
conducted.
Exactly.
Including those studies that determined that the worst job in America is to be a newspaper reporter. So we're speaking with Democratic State Representative Anna Mollard. She's a Democrat from Elgin. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. (312) 981-7200 is our phone number. I'm Rick Pearson. This is your Sunday Spin. Joining me here in the Allstate Showcase studio is Democratic State Representative Anna Mollard from Elgin. We're talking about her legislation, which passed the House, now awaits action in the Senate, in an effort to kind of get to closing the gender pay gap that exists. And I was interested in a comment you made in the previous segment about women tend to settle for maybe less pay in a first job. And it's that kind of starting point that they never catch up on.
Right.
And I guess I'm just curious, is that a reflection of the job climate and just the obviously the desire of somebody, you know, coming out of school and wants to get hired and get that job? Is that a factor in that? Why is it gender specific?
Well, I think that's a very good point. I think that can. And something that we often hear when when graduates start during a recession, they tend to have lower lifetime earnings versus other graduates who may start out in a healthier economy.
In a more robust economy.
This bill could actually address that kind of situation as well, where you have the misfortune of starting out during a recession. Your first pay may be lower than it would have been had the economy been doing better and salaries were higher. In better times, if you're not basing future wages on subsequent salaries, that lower wage starting out won't be a detriment to you moving forward. But I think so that can affect both men and women. But I think studies have shown that women tend to, and this is not to, there are women I'm sure who are many who, you know, negotiate very well for themselves and know to be good advocates on their own behalf. But women more than men tend to not be as aggressive in negotiating or asking for more, especially when they first start out in their careers. And studies have shown that when they do ask for more, they tend to ask for less than their male counterparts and are perceived more negatively. And I think this is just a remnant of our culture in some ways, or socialization. I think things are changing, and we've seen the gap, you know, narrow over time. And I think that's illustrative of things that are changing in our society and our culture. But there still is this difference, you know, between men and women and how they approach advocating for themselves when they're starting out.
And you also pointed out this legislation, while it's aimed at closing that gender gap, but also that it could have benefits for men as well.
Sure. Men who've left the workforce either through a layoff or a downsizing or to take care of their families, coming back into the workforce, they're not going to be penalized for that gap in pay, you know, not keeping up with cost of living increases or pay raises over time. The employer won't be able to base a job, a wage offer off of potentially a lower wage because of the time that had been taken out of the workforce.
Based on a salary from 4 years ago,
exactly.
or something of that nature.
Exactly.
I know as well as this issue, you're also, as the chair of the House Committee on Aging, are very much involved in issues involving care of the elderly. And, of course, given our budget situation or lack thereof in Illinois, this has to be a very, very difficult topic to try to address as we see the social service safety net continue to crumble in this state.
Absolutely. Most of the programs that are aimed at providing services for seniors are being funded technically, either via court order or consent decree. They fall under that 90% of the budget that's still
the one on autopilot.
Right, exactly. So in some ways, that's the good news, but certainly our cash flow situation is making it much more difficult to pay our service providers who are providing these services. And we also know that we're experiencing the aging of the baby boom generation.
So the demands are
increasing for these types of services. And about 30 years ago, the state created the Community Care Program, which is a program aimed at keeping seniors in their homes. And these would be seniors who would otherwise be eligible to go into a nursing home. They need daily care. And it was created to keep seniors in their home and living more independently, and also to save the state money in nursing
care. Sure,
nursing
versus
home.
The cost
exactly.
of a full-time nursing home.
Exactly. And so, but what we're seeing right now is the Department on Aging is proposing a change to that in creating the Community Reinvestment Program, which would provide for the non-Medicaid seniors, seniors who are not covered under Medicaid, would receive a different set of and a different standard of care, which we are concerned, and the senior service industry, the senior service community is concerned that this may end up resulting in more seniors going into nursing homes and costing the state more in the long run. So we are holding hearings, and we've been in discussions with the Department on Aging and with our area agencies for aging, AARP, a number of different service providers to talk about their proposed changes. They have submitted rules to go to the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules to make changes through that process. We have concerns about that because it would bypass the General Assembly, and we feel be a less transparent way to make these, quite frankly, very dramatic, large changes to the program. So we're going to continue to have hearings and be in discussions with the department and with our service providers. Greg Harris, Representative Greg Harris, has taken a leadership role on this as well. And so between his committee on Appropriations for Human Services and our committee on aging, we are taking a close look at what's being proposed to ensure that seniors in Illinois receive the same standard of care that they're getting right now, and that we are looking at ways that we can be more efficient, be more effective in providing that care.
What is the department's rationale for making this change?
Well, that's what that's
I'm not asking you to defend it, but I'm just asking what do they tell you is the reason to make a change? If indeed this would end up to be more expensive when the goal of the program, as it always was if this is a way to make sure that we can save money but also provide adequate care.
Right. We're concerned that the department is shifting its focus from a care management focus, you know, looking at how we're providing care to seniors, to a cost management focus, which in the long run could end up costing the state more. They've identified that this new program would cut about $120 million out of the community care program. And we're concerned with that large of a cut, that there are going to be seniors that are going to lose services and end up, you know, having to go into homes. We understand the difficulties with the budget and the need to save money, but short-term savings, you know, $120 million in short-term savings could result in major increases down the road and to a reduced quality of life for seniors. And that's why we want this type of discussion, these types of changes, to at least go through the General Assembly, be proposed through the General Assembly, so that we have an opportunity to really vet and understand how these changes would affect seniors. One idea and one proposal that's been put out there is, instead of changing the program for 40,000 seniors, and that's the estimated number that would be affected by this change, do a pilot program. And, you know, take a smaller set of seniors and see if it actually results in the cost savings that they're claiming will be achieved under this new program, so that we are not affecting so many people without clearly understanding how the changes will be impacting our communities.
So is there legislation that, I mean, I know you're saying there's hearings on it, and I understand the administration is moving through the JCAR route,
right?
But are there is there legislation that would require these changes would have to be receive legislative approval?
There may be. We still have about a month left before the end of the session. We're going to kind of see how things continue to play out.
It's just another month of another month of May, and there's nothing else to do in Springfield,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Are we going to get a budget?
I'm still hopeful. I think we can't leave without a budget. I think people are rightly demanding that we solve this problem, that we solve this crisis.
Then you might have to take up permanent residence in Springfield if you're not.
If
going
that's
to leave.
What we need to do, then I think that's what we need to do. This has gone on far too long and is causing so much damage to our state. It needs to end.
It needs to end.
It needs to end.
It needs to end. Yeah. That's Democratic State Representative Anna Mohler. She's a Democrat from Elgin, and she is the chairperson of the House Committee on Aging. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much, Rick. It's been a pleasure.
This is the Sunday Spin.